Talk Trees, Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products, and Foley's Crane Rental Services here with us this morning. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Jeff.
All right, we have some business to take care of here. I have my own questions about trees that I'm seeing in my yard. We'll get to that shortly. But first, we've talked a lot over the years about how busy you and your crews are, and you stay busy pretty much all winter long. Mm-hmm. However, this last summer was pretty much a storm-free summer, and you guys didn't get backed up with a lot of getting storm damage done, and so you're going to find yourself with more time to get more jobs done now as we head forward this fall and right into the winter. So we want to get your phone ringing, Ted.
Yeah, no, and it's work is good, business is good, work log is good. It's just, you're so, and I talk with clients about this, sometimes you're so tied up with storm damage, storm response.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that, periodically throughout the summer. And for the last several years now, we have dealt with that. This past summer, we really had just one storm. And, we run about 10 crews. So we can, a storm, unless it's really catastrophic, we can take care of a workload that maybe a storm would develop and create. Within maybe a week's time for just one or two crews. So you can go through it pretty quickly. So it's kind of, people are saying how you're busy as ever. And it's like, yeah, we are. It just feels different.
Yeah.
Because there's not like that urgent, kind of chaotic at times when storms do come through and blow through and you're trying to figure out how to get everywhere at one time. And unfortunately, having to tell clients that have already been waiting to get their tree work done that now they need to wait even longer because we need to take care of this stuff first. And so it's just one of those seasons where, yeah, we're good. You look at overall what we have, and that's all good. It just doesn't feel as busy as it's been. And looking at the winter workload, you have those storms. It creates two things. It creates the kind of priority service, the work that you need to get out and do right now. It also creates a lot of people to think about other trees on their property and then say, all right, either we had these trees come down or my neighbors had these trees come down or whatever it may be. We want you to come out and look at all of our trees and see if you think something else needs to be done here. It kind of triggers the thought of, hey, maybe we should look at getting some tree work done rather than just waiting for another storm to come through. So yeah, it's good. We do have, we're out estimating every day still and keep booking work, but along with having a lot of crews is a lot of individuals that are out there working every day and a lot of key people that you want to keep on your staff. And so it's always that fine line all summer long. It's like, we want to sell a job to you and get to you as quickly as possible, but at the same time we want to work, or we want to build a work log so that we go into winter ideally a couple months out. A lot of people still think like you have to get the work done before the snow flies. And fortunately for us, for the crews and the equipment we have, we work all winter long through whatever snow there is. So, my goal as a business owner is, in order to keep quality people, we need to keep work there. So, build that backlog throughout the entire summer and fall so that you can actually work throughout the winter and keep these good people working. And then bringing that paycheck home. So we're still out working, still looking at jobs, still landing jobs. So yeah, still, if anybody is looking, don't think, because I hear it a lot from clients, like, okay, we talk to whoever, well, they can't get us to, they can't get us until next year or whatever it may be. For us, with working throughout the winter, we can still get people done here late this fall, early in the winter, midwinter, whatever it may be. Sometimes properties are not conducive to winter work if they're really steep slopes or whatever it may be, that we might try to get that in beforehand. Otherwise, that also just needs to wait till spring.
So to bottom line this, you've got a lot of work, and work's going to get done, but you don't have the backlog you've always had. And so people that may have been listening and just waiting to get on the schedule with you, right now is the best time to call, because you'll prioritize whether they need immediate help or you can work on it later on in the wintertime. That's your job. But What should people be looking for? People that really have been waiting to get something done, they know what they've got to get done, so now's the time to call. But for people that might not know, what are some of the things that people should be looking at right now going into the winter, where we could have some pretty heavy snow loads that could bring some stuff down and cause some damage? What should people be looking at right now as we speak today and then get on the phone and call you.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, wind is a thing in itself. Which way is the wind blowing when it finally creates that tree to fail, correct?
Right.
So, you know, in the arborist world, we have two things that we really look at when we look at, is a tree an at-risk tree, all right? So what's the probability of failure, number one? Is it compromised? Is there a compromised root system or the trunk or the root flare, or is it somewhere in the crown, or does it have co-dominant leads where one could rip away from the other, okay? So that's, you know, the probability of failure. From there is, what is the target, okay? What may it hit if it were to fail?
Yeah.
If it's in the woods and nothing's around, well, there is no target. We don't care as much. It's more if it's on your property and it could fail and then hit a target of whatever it may be. So you need to look at that. Like, what is around? What does a tree look like that may have an issue? And sometimes, a lot of the times, people just don't know what to look for.
Sure.
So that's where we come in. And, you know, myself or one of my two other sales arborists, we come out and walk the property and, you know, ask you, would you want us to point stuff out if we see issues? Of course, it's almost always yes. So then we can assess to point those things out, because there's so many different things that go on with trees that could create failure points that you don't, if you don't have the knowledge and the background and experience with it, it's really hard to see. In general, what does winter snow and ice loads create? It creates snow load. So it doesn't matter as much where the wind is blowing. It's the overhanging branches that could be decayed. You know, I just talked to one of my crews 20 minutes ago. They were at a property where an adjacent property owner had a large oak tree and had a limb going over the house that used to have an old swing hanging from it years ago.
Okay.
Well, the rope was still kind of embedded in there, and it's creating some decay points, and there's some rot over the top of that branch that you can't see from the ground, but up in the air you can. That tree extends, that branch extends over the house. Well, you have a snow or ice load. That is where now that branch, that is a big branch, that branch would snap and fail and come down on the house. The other thing that we saw this past winter when we had a couple of those heavy snows was especially pine trees that already had kind of a lean to them.
Okay.
And, you know, and a lean isn't always a bad thing against, you know, for wind hitting them, because a lean, you know, trees most of the time, if it's kind of a natural lean because they're going towards the sunlight, you know, they've already built that strength against that wind really pushing them. Where we saw failures this past winter was when you have a lean and then you get a snow, a heavy load on it, it pushes that crown down so much because it already has that lean. If it's a perfectly vertical stem, you may not have that load.
Right.
But as soon as it already has that bend to that lead, to that trunk, you get that snow load on it, and it can really bend that down to eventually it just snapped perfectly healthy, sound trees.
Right.
Just snapped them right off, and then there they'd come down. So, you know, those are really the failure points. White pine, extremely brittle trees. If you have branches over your house on white pines, you know, you either prune them back, you tip them back, you do things so that snow load doesn't snap those off and they come down.
You brought up a topic here that we've never talked about before, so I'm going to bring it up right now. You've got neighbors, next door neighbors, and sometimes there's a tree line that's the boundary between the two properties, and you've got a neighbor who has not put a lot of care into their trees, and you see, okay, these are starting to look pretty bad. They're going to start to affect my property here real soon. What do you do in a situation like that where, as a property owner, you can see that your neighbors have some issues and you don't want them to create issues on your property? What is a person to do?
Well, it's involved. So number one, you need to have a certified arborist look at the situation.
Okay.
To deem that, yes, that tree is a hazard tree, it's at risk of failure, and the target is your property,
right,
your house. So from there, what needs to be done is, so if nothing is done and that tree were to fail and hit your house, your insurance, you have to cover it.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where the object comes from. Whatever it hits, that's the insurance that has to cover it.
Okay.
So you're responsible for your deductible. You're responsible for your claim. Okay. Mm-hmm. They cannot go back to the adjacent property owner and, you know, try to go after them for it unless you have a certified arborist there to see what's going on.
Okay.
Deem that it's at risk.
Okay.
A certified letter is sent to that property owner where they actually sign off saying, yes, I received this letter. Okay. And that letter basically needs to state that, you know, we've observed that you have a hazard tree on your property that could affect our property or our structures.
Right.
Once that letter is in place and they've signed off saying that they've received it If they still do nothing, now liability goes on to them with negligence.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So it can't just be verbal. It has to be a...
No matter how good of friends you are with your neighbor, don't rely on a verbal agreement.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to cover yourself, correct.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like me in business. It's hard to do anything verbally anymore because you can get burned.
Right.
And so it's just one of those things like, hey, we're friends, but let's just still put this on paper.
Right. Yeah.
And let's just both be covered here so there's
just
no questions in the future if something does happen.
I'm glad you brought it up because that could cause some real issues between neighbors and between with people's property. Nobody wants an unexpected bill either that they didn't think they should be responsible for in the first place. But
right, and it does. I mean, I see it all the time as far as conflicts with trees. So the best thing to do is, you know, just is it an issue? Number one, if it is, then you just need to get a letter. Ideally, you'd like some folks just say, okay, I'm going to send the letter. Well, ideally, if you do get along with your neighbor, you should just have the conversation first.
Right, yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. Then from there, it's, you know, if that goes nowhere or you can't have that conversation, that's when you want to send the letter.
Got it. Good advice here this morning. And some issues now with the weather. We're coming off a terrible drought year here, Ted. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how much a stake you put into things like this. But the predictions for next year seem to be even worse drought conditions than we had this year. And this year was pretty darn bad.
Right.
One thing I'm seeing in my yard, I got my typical fungus issues that I've been dealing with for the last few years. But the thing I'm really worried about is all the new fir trees that we planted a couple years back. They've been growing fantastically. They look healthy as all get out until this year. I thought that they were planted in an area where it's usually on the lowest part of my property. And so I'm thinking the water's draining down there anyway, so I'm not so worried about my fir trees. However, upon closer examination here now this fall, the outsides look okay, but the insides of the tree are yellow and brown and orange and not looking all that healthy. But yet on the outside, they still look green and growing. I'm wondering if that's drought related. I'm hoping that if we get a nice wet fall here yet, some of that will start to reverse itself and they'll go into the winter season a little bit more healthy. But if other people are seeing that, what are we looking at as something we should be worried about? And are you at all worried about some of the reports you're hearing about drought next year?
Yeah, for sure. For sure we're worried. I mean, no matter what, we're, you know, already in year one of drought.
Yeah. Seeing we just came off a drought. We were getting back to normal, and now here we are again.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely it's a concern. You know, every tree, almost every tree has a little something, right, that can affect
right.
them. You
yep.
know, fungal or an insect or whatever it may be. So, you know, with your fir trees, are they true like balsam fir or Fraser fir or something?
They're Canaan firs.
Canaan firs, yeah. So they could have a needle cast also, another fungal issue.
Okay.
Especially in the interior. It could be drought related. There's a few different things that could be creating that. It all just kind of depends.
Okay.
There's a few different things there. So that's with the firs. You know, with your oaks, we were seeing some decline where some people thought it was oak wilt disease, but it was actually two-line chestnut borer damage because of the drought. So
Okay. Certain
tree species, clients or people out there listening, if you have birch, if you have oak, if you have red pine, if you have hemlock, any of those species that I'm thinking about right now, those are ones that really have what's called an opportunistic pest that come in and attack them when they're stressed.
Okay.
So they're stressed because of number one factor is root zone stress. Root zone stress being compaction, construction, drought.
Okay.
Yeah. With those things, the tree becomes stressed. Think about it as our immune system. If we're knocked down because we're not sleeping well or whatever it may be, we're mm-hmm. more vulnerable to infection or
right.
whatever mm-hmm. it would be. It's the same with disease in trees, where if they're knocked down because of drought, it makes them vulnerable to pest damage.
Okay.
So the oaks, the birch, the hemlock, the red pine, they have a lot of opportunistic pests, we call them, that when they're knocked down because of drought, yes, these beetles become more active and want to feed more and can feed more.
Okay.
Because the trees just don't have that built-up resistance as well when they're in that stress mode. So if you have those important trees, it's a good time to give us a call. We can assess. We can give you an idea of what it would take to come out and actually inject those trees with insecticides to be sure that they're alive or stay alive. What's the next thing? Try to keep mulch around your trees. Try to keep water you know, water on your trees. Even this time of year, it's still good to water, even though we have a, you know, good amount of water right now coming. But still, water is important. Mulch is important. Sometimes food is important. If you're a person that likes to clean up all your clippings on your lawn, if you don't have good natural decomposing matter, the food source is not there like trees need. So sometimes you need to do a feeding in order to get those trees and keep those trees healthy. So there's several things to do, but the main thing is try to water them if possible.
All my trees are mulched except for my fir trees, so I think that's going to get added to my to-do list yet this fall.
Right. Well, it would be good. It would be helpful.
So, and little maybe hose time out there, too, if Mother Nature doesn't come through here. Tony says we could get a couple inches on Friday, so that'll be that'll go a good long way.
Yeah, it looks like we're getting quite a bit.
Real quick, before we get out of here, firewood season, Ted, how are things at Foley's Forest Products?
It's great. Fortunately, we've put in a large storage building. We've been able to keep up on our firewood, so we're not behind. A lot is going out. I mean, we even got a delivery from almost 200 miles away that can't find good dry firewood, so we're delivering all the way to almost La Crosse.
Wow.
So yeah, it's great. We have a lot of wood on hand, but yet we're producing, you know, a lot of wood every week. So, you know, rather than in the past where it's like, okay, you can have it when we produce it, which sometimes was 4 or 6 weeks down the road. You know, now we're able to pretty much get stuff out within a week's time.
Deal.
Week and a half anyway. So, yeah, firewood's been good. Kiln dried firewood. You'll be happy with it. It burns really well.
And get all the BTUs out of it that you can. Reduce some of your heating costs this winter time. It's all good. Best way to get a hold of Foley's Tree Service and Foley's Forest Products, Ted?
715-453-2407. Office staff there to take your call and listen to what you need.
And there's room on the schedule right now, so don't put it off anymore. Call Foley's Tree Service if you have some tree concerns. Foley's Forest Products if you want to get loaded up on firewood. And as always, if you ever need a crane, Ted can cover you there too.
A big crane.
Big crane. Real now, big crane.
We don't really set house trusses, so yeah. We're a little too large for that.
Yeah, but they don't deal in little cranes.
But larger,
it's just
larger
big
pick
cranes.
Stuff. 100, it's a 100-ton capacity crane, so it's usually for generally bigger picks.
Other than the drought, it's been a great season, Ted. Always look forward to seeing you, so we'll see you in the spring.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Ted Foley, Foley's Tree Service and Foley's Forest Products. Get those guys busy and keep busy all winter long, please. It's